Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time to talk company results now with one of the largest and leading employers and businesses in South Africa. Sasol has published its results and has highlighted that there are ongoing challenges from a macroeconomic point of view that have impacted some of its operations, resulting in a 52% decline in its headline earnings per share, lower profits, no dividend declared for shareholders, and of course, ongoing write-downs on some of its operations. But so far, as we've heard, this is largely in line with what the market had expected, given the updates that the business has shared. To tell us more, we join now on the line by the CEO of Sasol, Mr. Simon Baloyi. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. Baloyi. Welcome.
Evening, Gugule, to you. Thanks for the invite.
Thank you for your time. I can imagine a busy day for you today, sharing much of the overview of the company results and as has been contextualized, largely driven by ongoing pressures that you've experienced in the last financial year. Maybe just talk us through the quick overview of the highlights.
Yeah, Google, we did face both external and internal obstacles. The macros, we sufficiently covered that. We also internally had volumes. And our teams, as we saw this, as the year was progressing, during the first half, we actually responded. We gave a positive response to contain the impact of these challenges. We made sure in the international chemical business that we focused on value over volumes. You've seen we did announce that we actually mothballed three non-performing assets, and those assets were running on negative gross margins. Here at home, and also it was a global effort as well, we demonstrated strict cost discipline, where our cash fixed cost, if you compare the corresponding period H1 24 versus this current H1 25, we managed to contain our costs below 1%, which is actually way below inflation. And our CAPEX, we now are guiding to the lower end of our guidance of between 28 and 30 billion for the end of the year. And then this was done by reviewing our commercial contracts and implementing steps for cost discipline in how we deal with contractors and customers and service providers so that we create a win-win for both the company and the customers as well. And then finally, on the volume front, you remember we had a fire at Natref and our team responded superbly. That refinery is now back online. And during the period, we made sure together with industry that we kept the supply to OR Tambo going for jet. And we're pleased with that outcome. In the Secunda region, that value chain was impacted by lower coal quality. And then we've also responded to that. We've taken decisive actions to take final investment decision on our destoning plant, which is going to help us with quality. And then that plant should come online during H1 FY26.
Got you. And maybe let's zone into Secunda. It's an area that many of our listeners might be familiar with and touching both not only on the economics, but the social aspect of it as well. In terms of the timelines, as you've mentioned, regarding the impairments, talk us through the financial impact that we're likely going to continue to see here. And more so on the socioeconomic impact, given the relevance that Sasol does have in a town like Secunda.
Yeah, thanks. As far as the impairments is concerned, you remember Secunda has two cash generating units, the chemical cash generating unit and the fuels generating unit, which is also known as the SINREF. So the unit that's impaired is our refining unit. However, a combination of the two cash generating unit actually has significant value. And you remember we've revised our outlook for that plant, and we've seen an uplift on the value in use for both the refining unit and the chemicals unit. So the whole plant combined still has significant value. However, the refining portion is still impaired. That impairment is still sitting at around 6 billion rands, and we're working very hard to close that gap so that we don't impair the capital that goes into the refining unit.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the socio-economic impact, of course, Sasol is one of the largest employers in the country. Directly and indirectly, you remember our company doesn't impact 500,000 jobs, but what we do on a daily basis directly is that we've got in the Secunda region around 20,000 of our people and around 30,000 service providers that comes into our facilities daily. And during the turnarounds, this number actually goes much higher, up to 40,000 service providers and our people coming into the site. So we know that impact in terms of jobs, and the interlinks of Sasol and the rest of the economy is also quite large. And that is why it is prudent for us to make sure that, I mean, all the cash generating units in that facility, all of them are positive so that we can continue operating them long into the future.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your divestment from LNG. And I'm keen to get your thoughts in terms of what the future of gas is in a market like South Africa.
Yeah, the gas market, we've previously communicated to the market that the resources in Mozambique are coming to an end and the market needs to shift to LNG. Sasol did look at ourselves switching over to LNG. However, after the outbreak of the Ukraine war, it actually became uneconomical for us to switch over to LNG. So the whole market will need to switch to LNG. And ourselves, we will not be using LNG for products. However, we're working with others, including Eskom, to see, if we can bring LNG together for gas to power, because we know that gas to power is actually the anchor to allow LNG to come to a country. So we see South Africa moving to LNG due to the fact that the gas resources in Mozambique are finished. But from a Sasol point of view, we will not be switching over our facilities to LNG at the current prices.
Mm-hmm. I'm keen to get your thoughts as well with regard to what it is that we do see when it comes to coal. As you've mentioned there, you have highlighted earlier that this also incorporates the fact that you are reducing your exposure to coal and largely prioritizing quality there. I'm keen to understand, for many of us as South Africans who perhaps draw the interlink between load shedding, coal that we require, and of course the energy deficit that we continue to have in South Africa, how does this, I guess, speak to the interplay of power supply in the country?
In the medium term, in the short to medium term, both the country and Sasol will need coal because you remember, for the country's point of view, it gives you base load. But from our point of view, we will need coal to make the products. We'll be shifting, and like we said, we will shift the coal, we'll move away from the coal that we use to produce electricity, that we bring in renewable energy to cover that portion of the coal, because we do have our own electricity generation. So we will shift away on that portion of our business. However, the business that requires our coal, which is coal for products, that will continue. However, we are working very hard on reducing the carbon intensity of the business. So we did, during the market call, give a very comprehensive view in terms of how our emission reduction roadmap is going to unfold. We will share that with the market in more detail. We're going to explore several levers to make sure that we continue to reduce our greenhouse gas intensity in a responsible and pragmatic way.
Mm-hmm. Many have commented that it's been a very tough 3 years for a company like Sasol, given the challenges that you faced internally and exacerbated by the external factors. I guess the question then for shareholders and investors is, when will we get the ship steady and right again, especially from a dividend payout point of view?
Our dividend trigger, we communicated that. The Sasol board approved a dividend trigger where we said when our net debt gets sustainably below the $4 billion, we will consider paying a dividend. And our dividend will be paid as a percentage. We said 30% of free cash flow. That is done to ensure that we have sufficient cash to continue to deleverage our balance sheet. So we're not far from that. You remember our net debt is sitting at 4.3 now. We did guide during the results today that we will go to less than 4 billion at the end of the year. However, the board will have to consider, all the other risks that the company might be facing to decide whether to declare dividend yet or take another decision. So from my vantage point, our focus is to make sure we restore and strengthen the foundation businesses by restoring free cash flow generation in both the international chemicals and the South African business. And we're starting to see progress on that. We've given and guided that our EBITDA for the international chemicals should show an uplift of between $100 and $200 million on FY24's performance. And the South African business as well, with the implementation of destoning, we've also given guidance that from H1 26, when that plant comes online, we should start to see an uplift on that. And that will make sure that we strengthen our cash generation ability to our full potential, and which will allow us to pay our debt quicker and then make sure we show up our balance sheet and make sure it's sustainable going forward.
Mr. Baloyi, as we wrap up, I do want to bring it closer to home for many of us as South Africans who typically drive past much of your retail network in the petrochemical space in terms of your filling stations. And perhaps when we think of Sasol, we think of a plethora of themes that actually speak to it being a significant contributor to South Africa's economy. But for the listener who is in their car right now and wanting to get a full understanding of where Sasol is as a business in the country regarding its commitment and its sustainability, what do they need to know without the technical dynamics at hand?
Yeah, in short, we committed to transforming our business. This we will do at a pace which takes into account the jobs, our impact on the economy, the people and the communities that depend on the company, our customers, which are key. We'll transition with our customers. We'll be pragmatic to make sure that we protect value for all the shareholders, and we'll ensure that Sasol continues to play a significant role, not just today, but into the future going forward. As the energy landscape of the country evolves, Sasol will continue to become a leading player in that landscape, changing people's lives and being a force for good.
Thank you so much. That's Mr. Simon Baloyi there, the CEO of Sasol, joining us this evening to give us an understanding of the numbers. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's been a very busy day for you and your colleagues, and maybe going to be a busier week as well with the Investor Roadshow. But all the best to you, Mr. Baloyi.
Yeah, thank you to you and the listeners as well.
Thank you.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.